Why don't we go ahead and hand off to Justin then? Get started.
Okay, the thing that I want to talk about today is some inheritance models that I've added to NewBus with the main motivation of being able to reduce code duplication in our kernel. I came upon this mostly out of frustration in trying to get CardBus to work. For my particular laptop, it required basically adherence to the spec, and our code wasn't doing that. And in the process of making it adhere to the spec, I kept on running into conflicts with stuff getting copied back in from PCI. And CardBus, as most of us know, is really just an extension to PCI. Most of the devices on there look almost identical to PCI devices. So what did I end up doing? Well, if you look at the current CardBus implementation on FreeBSD, CardBus is basically all the PCI core files copied with their symbols renamed. And then maybe 30 or 50 lines of additional code added. So I found that kind of frustrating, and NewBus, being sort of an object-oriented type framework, was half the way there, really, to allow us to do a lot of this without code duplication. So if you look at the way KObj and NewBus work today, every class has a table of methods. And in order to invoke a method, there's an indirection that's done where an identifier is used to look up that method. And essentially, that allows the person invoking the method to not really know exactly where that method is. You don't have to have direct symbol reference to that method. The extension that I added and is working at least on my laptop today is, instead of having a single method table, the table is actually a list of interfaces. Every interface can actually inherit from a parent interface. So in the case of CardBus, I actually have a list of interfaces. One is the device interface that allows me to be probed and attached. The second interface is the bus interface, which allows me to act as a bus for my child interfaces. And the third is actually a sys parsing interface that I can share with PCCard. Inside those three interfaces, I actually inherit my device interface from PCI, and I inherit my bus interface from PCI. And I override a few of those methods in order to implement the differences that are apparent in CardBus. And the sys interface basically allows me to override a few hook methods and reuse most of the code in the PCCard space in order to do sys parse. The upshot of this is that in the case of CardBus, the amount of code to support CardBus drops from several thousand lines to a few hundred lines. And as features are added to PCI, the CardBus code doesn't usually need to know anything about that, and it just all works. So how is this implemented? It's fairly simple because of this indirection that was already put into place in NewBus. When a class is compiled, or essentially early on, when a class gets registered, I've changed the way that you declare that class so that it's a list of interfaces. And the interfaces, as they're declared, can specify a parent interface. And as the class is compiled, the compiler basically just walks the interface chain until it finds a hit. And that's how you come up with this composite method table. The other thing that this allows you to do is actually have the ability to call your superclass. So you can create an overriding method and then call your super without really knowing if your super is implementing the method that you're inheriting, just like in any object-oriented programming language. The only thing that gets a little ugly is, because this isn't an object-oriented language, some of the ways that you specify your class and the way that you invoke a super is a little ugly. For instance, in order to invoke a super, you can generate a macro wrapper that makes it a little bit prettier. But essentially, you have to know what your own interface is, and that way you can use the interface linking in order to find the next parent or the next place up the chain that has a method of interest. Another upshot of this is that if you look at the way most drivers are implemented today, if they need some kind of generic method for doing things like attach or probe or naming themselves, they actually have...
Now attending.
Bosco, Montreal.
Welcome, Bosco.
Hey. Hello.
You kind of caught me mid-sentence. But hopefully you'll catch on.
Okay.
So the other upshot of this is that if you look at the way method tables are currently done in the kernel today, any device that needs just a generic method for doing just about anything has to explicitly put that into their method table. And if they don't happen to need these generic resources or these generic methods, they don't bother to put them in there. With the inheritance model, all you need to do really is create yourself a null interface for a lot of these devices and specify inheritance to go pick up these methods from the generic interface. So a lot of the declarations in very simple drivers collapse. And if you look at the diffs that I put on my website, you'll see a lot of minus signs because whole method tables collapse to one or two entries. So there are some sticky points in this, though, that I'm looking for input on. One is, how do we deal with interface versioning? As you, those attending the conference may remember, during one of the Apple keynotes, there was a big push from Apple to deal with binary upgrade paths, not just in terms of user land utilities, but also in terms of providing an object interface, or like a K-object interface, so you can do kernel modules. And those kernel modules will actually work from release to release. What I've been looking at is figuring out how to sort of in the background munge the interface name to include versioning information so that you can do static linking, and you could actually create several interfaces with slightly different versions for backward compatibility. The problem with doing that is just coming up with an easy way for the user to specify their version and also hiding that version information so that you remain source compatible if the version number increments. So I'm looking for people who are, you know, great CPP hackers and, you know, macro wizards to come up with a good mechanism for doing that. I'm hoping that we can avoid what Linux does, which is after they compile everything, they pass it through some symbol munger, which actually modifies the .o. The last thing I'd like to talk about is the possibility of doing multipathing in a new bus environment. The main reason why I'm interested in multipathing is because of the systems today that already encounter multipathing in SCSI systems. In a lot of the big iron that's NUMA, every cluster of CPUs, or perhaps every CPU, has its own I/O interface to a SAN. When you want to do I/O, you use the local SCSI processor to your CPU because it's more efficient. And all of those SCSI CPUs, since they're accessing the same, or SCSI processors, since they access the same SAN, can get to the same devices. But in order to have a single system image, you still need to understand that those devices are the same. And you may have to provide locking primitives between those different NUMA nodes in order to get a coherent picture of the device. Even if you don't have NUMA, you also have situations where, just for failover, you want to have more than one device or adapter talking to the same device. There's also another multipathing type case that I found out about just the other day and talking to Mike Smith, and that is there can be more than one way to enumerate a device in a system. You can enumerate some devices using ACPI. You can find those same devices in the PCI space. How do you resolve that? I'm hoping that we can come up with a mechanism for dealing with multipathing that allows both types of problems to be solved. The basic ideas that I've been floating for multipathing is that really requires a change to the way that we invoke methods in NUBUS. If you look at the typical invocation of a method in NUBUS, you usually say method name, the device or the dev T or device T that happens to have the method table of interest, followed by some number of arguments. It could be a child device, it could be some other data structure. The problem with this is that in the cases where you actually have to go up your bus chain in order to get work done, what usually happens is the parent says, oh, I need my parent to help me with this. So I'm going to call my parent as the first argument, and I'm going to call myself, use myself as a child. Oh, but actually in this case, I need the guy below me to be the argument. I'm going to have to get out of the way. Instead of hiding that information, which of course only works if you have a linear path from the leaf child all the way up to the root, what I'm proposing doing is actually passing a path object along with a cursor in the invocation. The cursor basically gives you a position in the path so that when you're invoked, you can see exactly where you were in the hierarchy. And you can also determine immediate children, immediate parents, as well as anyone along the path. A path object is basically just an array of device T pointers, and a cursor is basically a device T pointer. In this fashion, you get to drop in these scenarios that require several arguments down to just two, and it's always two. And in a multipathing environment, you always know the parent object that's of interest and the child object that's of interest. Of course, in order to implement any of this stuff, including just the inheritance stuff that I talked about at the beginning of my talk, you have to modify all of these interfaces. The inheritance stuff is very mechanical. The project that I did on my laptop was basically, okay, compile my kernel so that everything works. That meant getting ACPI to work, SIO, the IFDC driver, ATA. I'm trying to remember what other features.
Waveland.
Oh, yeah, I got Waveland to work yesterday because I was at a conference. You know, it had to happen. Each of these drivers, to do a quick transition, takes about 5 minutes. If you care to expend a little more thought, you can often collapse portions of the driver where functionality is copied from some other driver and create a shared interface. In fact, the code simplification that's in my laptop right now really only covers certain portions of CardBus and certain portions of PC Card. But there are numerous other areas, even between just those two objects, that could be shared, further reducing the amount of code that's duplicated. So I guess my question here is, assuming that the justification for this change is well received, is this a 5.0 feature? Is this a 5.5 feature? And then how do we manage the transition? So there are those questions. And then if we decide to talk about the two things that are still missing from my implementation, how do we design our versioning? Is it runtime versioning? Is it build or link time versioning? And then in the multipathing case, is just having an array of dev T's as your path sufficient for the class of multipathing that we want to deal with?
Actually,
there's a hand up.
I hesitate to throw this out because it seems like it's so obvious a solution that we all would have thought of it by now. I mean, the way you do version verification in, for example, a Solaris device driver, is that the driver at registration time gets a call to an init function, and it then calls routines in the API to register its function and handlers and stuff. But one of the things that you do the very first thing is you pass a structure to an upper-level API that includes an API version number that you're expecting. And that way, if the version number is unacceptable to the API, then it can be rejected out of hand. And also, one of the things that you get from init is a version number that you can reject out of hand if you're not prepared to handle an API at that level.
Right. I think in the Solaris case, there's like a single API number. In this case, like in the case of CardBus, I have three interfaces. In another class, I might have 5 or 10. So how do I automate during my initialization time that versioning check when somebody else decides to come in and add a new interface to my code? They have to also remember to do this, you know, manual registration.
And I figured it was too easy.
Well, I mean, it is a solution that will work, but is it the solution that we decide to choose, I think, is the question. So did you have your hand up, Julian?
Well, I had
Warner behind you.
Oh.
Well,
Paul isn't there before me.
Okay.
It's just a very simple observation that I don't think we should over-engineer this problem. For shared libraries, we have the decision to only bump per revision or per release. And obviously something similar is controlled to the kernel, because otherwise we'll end up with 6-digit version jumpers.
Yeah, I think the policy as to when you bump the version is one part of it. But the other part is how do you encode that versioning information in some way that is really pretty bulletproof.
Do you want to be able to have more than one version of the same library loaded at once so that one driver can use one and another driver can use another?
Yeah, the way that the interface works right now is, assuming we use name munging of some sort, you could actually have more than one interface version available at a time. So you can do backwards compatibility.
So, it's hard to ask questions and take notes. has anyone looked at any of this stuff that, I hate to use the word Microsoft in the room, done with COM? Because they've certainly tackled this problem in a, actually, I have to admit, reasonable way. Every COM objects all have GUIDs, which are 128-bit unique IDs. And the cost they pay, and that we would pay for this, it depends on how often you have to do this, is that to find out whether you're able to call the interface, you call a function called query interface. And so you have to do this lookup, is that interface there? But they've dealt with the versioning problem through this method of doing 128-bit unique IDs, which they can then do, and the COM spec's online.
I think I've
got
that. I have 3 or 4 comments. First of all, it seems like there's a lot of different problems all rolled up into one, and if we try to solve all 4 of them at the same time, we will solve none of them at all. I like the multiple inheritance. I think that's fairly orthogonal to the rest. The versioning seems orthogonal to the rest, and the multipathing seems orthogonal to the rest. And I don't think we should necessarily weight one on any of the others. Yes, it would be nice to only change the interface at once, but I worry that if we wait for the perfect solution, it'll be in 6.0 or 7.0. And I'd like to use multiple inheritance in 5.0.
Right, so if you look at just what it took to support my laptop, I have 14,690 lines of diffs, unified diffs, because of all the different interfaces I had to modify in order to make just the multiple inheritance stuff work. And that does not cover probably more than 30 or 40% of the drivers in our tree.
But the other drivers that are in the tree will still work without the changes.
No, they will not.
No, they won't.
No. In fact, you'll get a nice warning at compile time. It'll actually link. If you boot your kernel early in init, they'll die as soon as they register their KOBJ objects. Now, that could probably be turned in, if I was, you know, a little more careful in how I did this, I could probably turn those into fatal errors so that during compile time, you know, you wouldn't get screwed.
Yes, please.
If the interface change is so significant, it sounds pretty obvious to me that the first thing you want to do is the versioning.
Yeah.
That would make the transition to the rest of the interface changes much easier.
The whole calling convention changes, though.
I know, but just getting the versioning right would put a label in the drivers what version they're expecting, so we actually have a way to find out what we still have to update.
Well, it's almost as if you want to have a version of NewBus as well as interface version.
Yes.
That's FreeBSD version.
We may have to subdivide it.
Right, but
for an interface change, of the apparent scale you're proposing here, having done something like that in the past, it's not very easy to get it all right, and in particular, there's a heck of a lot of drivers who have no way of testing.
Right. No, I agree with that. The only saving grace is that the transition, assuming you don't do anything crazy, assuming you don't try to delete more code than you can test, and you just do the mechanical conversion, it basically, if it compiles without warnings, it works.
But if you can do a mechanical conversion, couldn't you do a compatibility layer while the conversion is going on?
Assuming that you change the name of how you register the stuff, sure. And then probably somebody who knows Perl better than I could probably just convert the entire tree mechanically too. The question is, though, if the only reason I hesitate to suggest that is because, again, in 90% of the cases where I was doing a manual conversion, it was pretty apparent that you could actually make extensive use of this interface to reduce code duplication. And once you've done the mechanical conversion, you no longer have the impetus to have human eyes look at the code and try to factor that stuff out.
I don't think we'll have the human eyes to look at the code before 5.0 in any case. We'll have a hard time getting things tested before 5.0.
O'Brien?
How long would it take to get what you have today and commit it?
Okay, if we didn't add, I'd like
you're
to figure out the...
You're not changing all the other drivers you have, just to get your basic framework ready.
Well, I don't know how many people I'd break card bus-wise. But basically, the diffs are available today. If somebody wanted to slap them in the tree, they could. As far as finishing the mechanical conversion for the rest of the tree, it would probably take like a man week, maybe a little less than that. But I would like to at least get the versioning stuff figured out before that would happen. The multipathing stuff can be done post 5.0. I don't care.
Does that mean the estimation whistle was up in Perl?
That's without the Perl script. I don't know how long it would take a Perl hacker to come up with a script. Maybe it'd be a man week.
It occurs to me that with changes like this, one of the things that makes it difficult is the requirement that we have that you commit the change and that you don't break everything. And I'm wondering whether we shouldn't have some procedure where we have an official breakage, right? Which is where, for instance, Justin checks in his stuff and we say, look, nobody's kernel is going to work for a week. But if you want your particular kernel to work, find the bits that you have the opportunity to help your laptop working again. But, you know, fix your drivers. But don't expect that it will work off the tree. Because part of the difficulty with this sort of thing is getting everything to a state where you can commit it and know that it's going to work for everybody actually takes as long as it would take to just commit the damn thing and fix it. Sometimes it seems counterproductive to do it that way.
Well, if you're going to do that, then I would suggest that you lay down a tag before the breakage so that we can tell people, you know, you might go up to this, if you're getting started in current, which is what we want to try and encourage people to do so that we can get it tested, is, all right, you know, your first destination, your first port of call in current is probably this tag. And either that tag slides to the next point of reasonableness, or we lay down another tag, or something along those lines, because just, all right, point A.
I'm kind of sliding into a general development model.
I was actually saying that myself. I think we probably do want to avoid digging into the mechanics, in particular, digging into the mechanics of the limitations of our version control system. Let's assume for a moment that the discussion of how exactly it gets into the tree isn't 100% relevant, because one way or the other, you know, it'll take a week of breakage or whatever it takes, that'll happen. I think probably the pertinent question to answer is, do you want to attempt to get the versioning in before then, and if so, what do you think the timeline is for versioning?
Well, that obviously depends how to do the versioning.
Yeah, I know, and that obviously depends on how we do the
versioning. That's, I think, what he was really...
Yeah, that's what I think we should go.
I think there's actually two questions we should figure out first. One, is there any objections to the proposal, or is there anybody who thinks they have a better idea? Because if it's a no for both of those, we have to go that way, and this is about deciding the time. And we're probably not the people here to decide the time. That's probably done in developers if we want to schedule a week and break it.
Some of that will also hinge on the release engineering discussion we're going to have later this afternoon.
We're going to beat them up.
I think that's a very bad idea, especially with somebody who's going to be leading that discussion. So,
I just have one more point I wanted to make kind of last, because I didn't want to go off too much with it, but it seems like we're spending an awful lot of effort reinventing the object wheel, and it has been discussed among several people, John particularly, that we should just shoot KOBJ and the VNOP object model.
Well, I wasn't saying quite that.
Well,
but then I'll say the thing about the VNOP.
we should consider using a reasonable subset of C++ for doing all this stuff, so we don't have to maintain this object model forever and explain it to people forever and leverage off the existing tools that are there. Now, I don't know if C++ or Spark 64 kernels make sense or not,
but I just wanted to offer that as a possible alternative to endlessly hacking our hacked up kludgy chaos system, which
well,
is kind
of
neat.
Well, one thing that I would mention is that C++, even the full-featured version, doesn't allow you to do what these modifications allow you to do very easily. Okay.
Gravity.
So, like, if you do EC++, which is something that people say is, you know, like the Apple guys say, well, that's a scaled-down version and it's appropriate for a kernel, there's no multiple inheritance. And I'm already doing multiple inheritance in Cardbus right now.
Right, you can do multiple inheritance with C++. It's granted it's done differently and you do things differently, but...
Right, but you wouldn't be able to do it in EC++. They actually took multi-inheritance out because
I'm not talking
about
EC++.
Right.
I'm talking about C++ with no exceptions. And we would use the language C++, but we would disable exceptions and not bother with EC++ because that's just too weird.
Right.
And we don't have a compiler for it anyway. So
and then you get into people saying, well, you know, we really should have exceptions because exception handling is really cool, and gosh, I could do some great stuff with it.
We're supposed to get
there.
Yeah. So it's easy. That's an easy solution.
Right.
I didn't want to...
Okay.
It sounded like we were finishing up. I wanted to just...
Okay.
I wouldn't mind having our... I mean, I don't think we should go for C++, but I wouldn't mind having our own preprocessor to help us. But, I mean, but I think we should stay with C.
Yeah. We should probably move on from the language discussion. Then. I'm not sure how productive that's going to be in the long
term.
Yeah,
so those in favor of the of Justin's thing?
I don't think we should vote here.
Yeah.
One more point. Somebody already brought up COM. There's an XPCOM implementation in Mozilla. COM has been shown to do everything that is needed in an object system. Microsoft's proved it. Mozilla's proved it. There's no need to introduce a new language in order to get these features. I think that Justin's proposal
I actually have one last thing that I just remembered I should probably mention. One of the problems that comes up in this inheritance model, either way you go, whether it be with a COM or C++ or Nubus, is how you deal with IVARs. And the problem that I ran into just in trying to merge a couple things into Cardbus was, well, those namespaces aren't unique between PC card, card bus, PCI, what have you. So as a minimum, I think you have to pass the, well, what I'm thinking of doing is just passing the interface object along with the identifier for whatever instance variable I need. So that's another interface that might have to change in order to give you some safety net in dealing with this multi-inheritance stuff.
Yeah. You go to Brian, since Brian raised a couple minutes.
Well, I was just going to point out that C++ won't really help us solve the versioning aspect of it at all. So I don't think it's really a win in that respect. And I was also going to point out that although COM would solve a lot of these problems, COM is not something that a lot of us would be comfortable with introducing in the FastPath.
Well, Nubus has never really been in the FastPath.
Yeah.
Well, in the rest of the KOBJ, we currently envision the kernel using all over, right?
I don't know. We probably shouldn't go to that. let me go to Warner, and we should probably, unless there's some big pertinent issue, we should move on after
to go to the phone. The other issue that Justin and I had a chance to talk about was the softy issue. If you're implementing multiple interfaces, only one of them can own the softy, or they have to know that, okay, two of them own it, but the first one gets the first part, and then I tack mine on to the end.
Yeah, that's where interface variables come into play.
So, IVARs are different than softy.
I know.
So.
But your interface can basically use IVARs instead of a softy in order to get its work done. That's your storage area.
Not always. There are times in bridges you can't do that. There are times in bridges you have to have the information at the bridge and not on the child. Because IVARs are child storage and softy is device storage.
But you being a child of some parent bus have IVAR storage.
I'm talking about a bridge where you have...
Right, and the bridge is a child of what? The root bus, or of some other bus, meaning that it has instance variables, which are hung off its softy, actually, and it has a method in order to fetch them.
Right, then you who manages the softy?
The method that lets you... the get IVARs method.
So the devices then would not manage it at all?
No, what I'm saying is that you use a method. You use a method in order to get to your IVARs.
Okay, but...
Which means that method has to understand the layout of your softy.
Right.
Can I point out one thing to the two of you?
Mm-hmm.
I bet half of us around this table have no idea what you're talking about because there's no decent documentation of U-boats.
Yeah.
Actually, there is. Already slides from VFDCOM last year were pretty good.
Yeah.
We should probably do something useful with this.
Slide. Anyway, the softy issue is something that can be managed.
Yeah. Can we move on?
Yeah. Well, okay, I was actually going to, we should go to the phone and see if anybody there has any questions.
Doug's here, if I may.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that since the streaming is working now, I'm going to hang up and I'll phone in again if I have any questions. So that's it.
Okay. So we have no technical questions out on the phone for this session?
Not from this end.
Not from me.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay. So if we're done with that issue.
Now departing.
Death of Slow Norway.
What was that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the main thing is just to get feedback on this stuff at some point.
Sounds good to me. Good.